You're listening to Donuts and Top Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Welcome to Donuts and Top Cow. This is episode 36, and we are talking Artifacts 11. My name is John Grigas.
And mine is Josh Crawley.
And we're stoked. We got another issue of Artifacts. It's been out a few weeks. This conversation will include some minor spoilage conversation, but there's a pretty big event in this issue that we don't plan to spoil.
Correct.
Correct. And first, we'd like to thank Westfield Comics. Westfield Comics has two locations in Madison, Wisconsin. First location near downtown on the east side on Willie Street. They also have a location on Mineral Point Road on the west side of Madison. Pop on in, say hey to Josh. Let him know that you're a listener to the show and get some good Top Cow conversation. If you like, you can also do business with Westfield online at www.westfieldcomics.com. They do subscription service. They have some recent back issues. They can also ship your way, all at a nice cyber discount.
And you know what else they got?
What is it?
That no one told me about. Digital comics via Comixology.
There you go. You can log right in. I did see that's like a direct link to the DC store of Comixology, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a separate DC Comixology link, I think, because we get a little extra money from DC for doing that.
That's cool.
But there's a link right below it to the regular Westfield Comixology thing. I don't know how all that works, but apparently we get some money for that stuff.
Well, help us out if you like the show and you want to help support our sponsor. Click on that Comixology link if you're buying digital comics through Comixology anyway. It won't cost you more, but it will help keep the systems running here with our podcast if you click the link. And we have some donuts today. These are Crispy Juniors. And it's a crawler. It's a mini crawler in a bag made by Krispy Kreme Donuts. We actually picked it up at a Sitco gas station nearby?
Sitco Open Pantry.
So there you go. Do the math.
I don't know who owns what and what's licensed from where, but yeah.
We're drinking some hyper-caffeinated coffee and having some Crispy Juniors.
You are. I just went with the, I think, organic fair trade because nothing was labeled horribly well, and but I knew I didn't need hyper-caffeinated.
Yeah. Well, we're not doing a previews episode.
Yeah.
That'll be next week, so.
Aw, yeah.
So jumping right into Artifacts 11. If you've been following Artifacts, well, you're listening to the show, so this is a good thing. I just to start off, again, I think Jeremy Hahn does a really nice job.
I just saw you even have post-its on pages. You really have issues with this issue, don't you?
Well, I got issues with the Survivor, so I do want to talk about some of this. As we open up in Artifacts, just to get you up to speed, if it's been a week or two since you've read the series, you know that Sarah and Jackie are zeroing in on the location of Hope. They're looking for their daughter. There are Tom Judge, Tilly Grimes, and the Angelus have branched off to look for the 13th artifact. G is out there somewhere, and they're looking hard for them. Right towards the end of issue 10, Sarah and Jackie do find Hope, and the Survivor is there to step right in and take control. So we open up the issue, and we have two of the artifacts on the good guy's side, at least from our perspective, is the Magdalena and Finnegan, who holds the Glacier Stone. They're being held by some pretty amazing restrictive handcuffs and tied to some sort of machine. You also see legs of somebody around the back. I don't know if that's...
I'm pretty sure that's
Abby. Is that the
Abby.
Necromancer?
Okay. Yeah.
So... As you've seen in here, we're really culminating to the final event, and the dark side, as it were, the Survivor has the upper hand on people.
It's kind of like the final countdown.
It's getting close to the final countdown. Is that the name of this issue?
No, I don't think the issues have actual names or titles for each. No. Nope, just Artifacts, part 11 of 13.
All right. So then we get into, and this is, I guess, where I want some of the focus of the conversation to start off and at least get off my chest. There's a 9-panel page where it's interspersed with Sarah's face, and she's just running through this. She's in the confrontation with the survivor. He has revealed himself to have been the curator, and she's looking through. So if you have that page, there are 5 panels of curator dialogue at various points in Witchblade history. The first panel is taken from Witchblade 94. All of these are Ron Marz dialogues. Not all of them were drawn by Stefan Sejic, however. But the...
Originally, obviously, in this issue, they're all Jeremy Hahn.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I guess I was referring to most of these are from the Witchblade series. All of the panels are drawn by Jeremy Hahn.
Well, just in case someone hasn't read it but is listening to this and is thinking, hey, then... Because when I first heard it, I'm like, wait, none of these are drawn by Sejic, but...
Nope.
Originally, where they were taken from.
Right. It was before he started on the Witchblade, started his run. So, yeah. Thanks for the correction.
So, clarification.
Excellent. So, the first panel is the curator saying the line of dialogue, "It has a certain sentimental value for me." That is from Witchblade 94. It's also in the Volume 3 Witchblade trade. And what's interesting is that panel is taken, the title of the story was Artifacts Part 1. And
Yes.
And he's talking about the Yangtze Yerpa, the multi-armed statue that came to life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Moves over to another panel where the curator says, "One door closes, another opens. It is the way of things." That's from Witchblade 103. It's also found in the Witchblade trade number 4 under the modern numbering.
Is that where Danny gets the Witchblade?
That is said as... Yeah, it's right. It's just before Danny gets Witchblade.
Yeah.
So Danny shows up in the curator's shop. It's kind of... There's a little thread that Ron had going in where they kept bumping into each other over a couple issues of time.
Yeah.
Danny and Sarah, that is.
Yeah.
So then they have a confrontation in the curator's shop. And so that is foretelling that Danny's going to move into a wielding role. It was said to Sarah as she and Danny were in there, and they're still oil and water at this point, not getting along at all. The middle panel, the curator says, "I assure you, Sarah Bazzini, this has nothing to do with you." And that's taken from Broken Trinity issue 1. So it was drawn by Stefan Sejic and broken down by Phil Hester, I believe. When she confronts Finnegan, who was dispatched to follow her. So this was just before Finnegan gets the Glacier Stone. And he basically was just hired by Jackie to tail her and keep an eye on Sarah because he wants to make sure that Hope and Sarah have somebody watching over him. So she finally confronts him, knows that he's been following her. And
which, I don't know if we ever pointed this out, since he didn't have the Glacier Stone yet, a normal Irish thug protecting someone wielding the Witchblade is a little bit funny.
It is funny, especially since you're hired by the guy who knows she has the Witchblade.
Exactly.
So that's kind of ironic.
Though, but it does make sense he's not quite as assuming, and, you know, if there's going to be lots of supernatural things after her, they're not going to pay as much attention to the regular guy who will then inform the other super-duper powerful force.
Yeah.
Known to lay a little smack down.
Plus, you know, Jackie, with his resources and experience, obviously trusts that Finnegan can hold his own even in really crazy circumstances, at least enough to inform him of what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that his instructions to Finnegan was to, you know, observe and report but don't engage kind of thing. Yeah. And then the fourth panel of curator dialogue is, "You distract yourselves with these petty struggles while the true struggle awaits," is from Broken Trinity issue 2, and that's where... It's happening in the alley, and the Glacier Stone's there, Jackie's there, Sarah's there, Gleason is there, and there's just this big build-up of confrontation.
Oh, hey, you just mentioned Gleason, and I just thought of something.
Yeah.
Since we're not going to spoil, I'm going to talk to you about later.
Good. Okay.
But remind me to tell you.
I will. Yeah, count on it. And I
suppose I'll go grab a pen and write it down right now.
We might even get an email or two wondering what the heck you're talking about, Josh. So feel free to reach out to us. We can be found on Twitter at DTC Podcast, or our email address is DTCpodcast@gmail.com. We're friendly. Drop us a line.
We're also on Facebook.
Yes, we are.
And, yeah.
Yeah,
we like it when people talk on Facebook.
That's where really the most activity we get is going on. There's some nice back and forth going on Facebook. So if you're on the Facebook, as they say, come on over and
Face Spaces.
Yeah, click on the affiliate with us. I guess they call it like, but you know what I'm talking about. And join the conversation.
Yeah, you don't really have to like us. That's just.
I'll tell you what. If you're unsure or on the fence, click the like button, but make sure that you post on there that you're still kind of not sure about that. But in any case, after the curate, you know, after the panel where the curator says, "While the true struggle awaits," that's where Sarah gets the kind of realization, "My God, it's you. It's always been you." And then it ends with another panel. Your fate and the fate of the world is intertwined with these others, as the curator. And I didn't find this panel, but I'm guessing it's a more recent one. I flipped through Artifacts, and it might be in Artifacts or somewhere else, but that's the one that I didn't have time to find before we recorded.
I see how it is. You went to all the effort of those other four, and then you just didn't do that last one.
So that's maybe we'll make that our next contest. You know, hey, I don't know where that panel's from.
Yeah, I know we have. Well, let's make that the next contest right now.
All right.
Because I know I happen to have, now admittedly they're second printings, but I have copies of Shinku number 1, signed by Ron Mars and Lee Motor.
Ooh, worth having.
I've got copies of Voodoo number 1, second printing, signed by Ron. I've got...
Get one of those. Oh, wait, I have one of those.
What else do I have? I have Magdalena... Oh, I have Magdalena promo poster signed by Ron. I have Magdalena Image Firsts number 1 signed by Ron. So, yeah, it'll be like a whole bunch of stuff signed by Ron to the random person from whatever. Or should we make it the first person that answers correctly? But then we put a deadline on it.
Okay. So the first person who answers correctly.
Yes.
Between, I guess, by December 10th. Is that too soon?
That's going to give people,
about a week or 10 days.
Yeah.
That's kind of arrogant, though, to think that they'd listen to us right away after downloading, though.
Worst case scenario, we'd bump it out a couple more weeks.
All right. So we'll go by the 15th of December.
Let's assume that while everyone's not driving around the countryside buying presents for their loved ones because they're smart and they shopped on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, that they'll still have time to listen to them. Because they're Christmas shopping stuff.
Okay, perfect. So we will choose the first person to answer, and we're hoping that you're the first person will be before December 10. But even if not, answer away, and we'll let you know where you're at. You'll get a pretty sweet package of Ron Mars signed work.
They'll get a sweet package, all right.
So, and here's the thing: if you're not sure about that gift for somebody who's really hard to give to, we can help you with that because I'll guarantee delivery by December 21st to wherever you happen to be.
Because you have magical shipping powers, more magical than my magical shipping powers.
I can make it through. And truth be told, you know, Donnie Stewart can probably agree with this. My shipping powers aren't all that much better than yours, but it does get there.
Yeah, but since we know it's time sensitive.
So see if you know where that panel is. Again, that's the last panel of the curator flashbacks. It says, "Your fate and the fate of the world is intertwined with these others."
Page 2, Artifacts 11, panel 9.
So Artifacts 11 quickly brings up the action. You've got the... Okay.
We should probably also point out that Top Cow employees, freelancers, and family of aren't eligible.
Until after December 15th, because if we don't have any correct ones...
That sounds good.
You can win. If we hit December 15th, then Mr. Mars himself can win, although I don't know why he wanted it.
If Ron wins, then we'll just maybe choose a non-winner at random.
Sounds sounds good. And we'll have a sweet consolation prize to Mr. Mars if that happens.
Yes.
So Sarah connects and buys the fact that this is the curator. And the big confrontation happens. It springs Jackie into action in particular. Sarah has hope. Jackie is fighting the curator, or I guess the survivor, to bring him down. And this is where I'm going to take a little departure from the story as we leave this really sweet action scene. I think it's laid out pretty well. It has splash panel, you know, it has like a two-page splash page kind of feel to it without being a two-page splash page. Across, there is a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 6 and 7, there is a bleed across the top that has, it's kind of a splash page, but it's also broken down with four panels below, and I really like how that's done because you get the impact of the larger art scene, but you also get more action steps than just a big photo of action. But I'm still, even though Ron put in panels from previous issues that support the fact that he's aware of everything going on and that it may be leading him to this, there's other behavior and other issues that I think are contrary to this, to the curator also being the survivor. And the big storyline I keep going through is it's earlier, it's found in volume 8 of the Witchblade Trades. And you're looking at the issues. It's right following the War of the Witchblades, right, basically in the War of the Witchblades. And you have the confrontation of his brother back and forth. And so I guess you can kind of go both ways.
Are we for sure that's his brother?
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe he's calling himself brother like a union leader or a monastery monk might call themselves brother.
I'm just checking because I'd forgotten about all that, and I'm like, wait a minute. He obviously can't be, and this might be something you were going to point out, but it just is running out of my mouth right now. If it's his brother and he's the survivor, that means there's two survivors.
That's kind of where I was wondering, because he definitely is at least he's been around in a previous life if he's not around any longer, because at the end of the War of the Witchblades, He and the curator are in the curator's shop, and now this brother, I've got a reference of his name somewhere, but I don't have it with me.
It looks like End of War of the Witchblades, Part 4.
It's right, and if you go there,
128,
there's an antagonist who's been a big part of the War of the Witchblades storyline, interspersed, and he has basically a big section of his head shaven out, and there's a wheel that's branded or tattooed or just, you know, birthmarked into his head. He has a long black beard, long black hair, flowing robes, and there's just some back and forth in the shop following all of this. And you see, in fact, in the foreground is the statue we referenced earlier, the six-armed warrior statue, kind of just as one of the artifacts sitting on a shelf.
Yeah.
And
which happened a lot throughout the run of this book.
It did, and that's been a kind of cool Easter story thing. And that's the one thing. So I guess if I've got a chalkboard of this is the survivor, or this is not the or this is the curator, this is not the curator, is that in the survivor's realm before all of this was revealed, there were some artifacts in the survivor's lair that matched some that you would see once in a while through Ron Marr's run on the Witchblade. So I guess I'll buy it from that standpoint. But the dialogue between the two, and so I guess here's what leans out to support maybe both ways. He said the brother, the man in the long beard, says, "Mind your tongue, old man. You know what I'm capable of, just as I know you and your ways. You think to again look on from a safe distance, moving your pawns and orchestrating events to your design. Not this time. This time I triumph, and it would be most wise of you to avoid interfering with me." Oh, and then the curator says, "How many times have we played out this drama, Tauma? And how many times have you lost?" And Tauma then replies, "Do not mock me, brother. It is my time, mine. There's not a thing you can do to stop me." And then he basically vaporizes with the use of a talent or another artifact that the curator happened to have. And the curator replies, "As you say, brother, I will not stop you." And it goes to a panel of basically the people on our side, the Witchblade, the Angelus, and I'm just I'm kind of going there. I'm thinking that this is a ruse, and I don't know that this is beyond something that Ron would do to us.
The thing, well, it part of it depends on when certain things were planned, when they changed, and stuff like that. Because I believe, I don't remember his name.
It's Tawama. I found it within the dialogue here.
Yeah. Him. As far as I can tell, he was not created long, long ago with the intent of using him 30 issues later. He was one of those. We started with him, things got rolling, and he ended up being pretty cool, so used him a little bit more. But what I find interesting about that is then they're talking about, like, basically playing these big chess games. And what if, really, his agenda was nowhere near as evil as the curators, the survivors?
The only other thing I struggle with is, why would the curator give out so many of these artifacts to those destined to be his opponents? I mean, if the whole key to his goal is to get all 13 artifacts in one place, why would he send so many out? Why would he give the Glacier Stone to Finnegan? Why would he be brokering the transfer of the Witchblade over to Danny and then back again? And why would he give out the Blood Sword?
False sense of security. Also knowing that, you know, only some people can control certain artifacts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
You get too many of them and things get hairy. Oh. So, not saying it's easy to control 12 of the 13 of them without actually possessing any of them. But, just looking at that spread now of all of the 13, the Spear of Destiny, not something you can easily just capture and hold on to for a while.
That's true.
Like, you have to carefully plan when you're going to go after that artifact so that you don't also have the entire church coming after you. Which is why, obviously, artifacts isn't something that can take place over 13 months. It's really got to be one of those, like, 2 days kind of things where there isn't time for the church to mobilize.
Yeah.
For whoever created Aphrodite 4 to be like, well, of course, I don't remember how many of those things they blew up with. all the other goddesses with the A names, too. Which, if I recall correctly, were all designed by Stefan Sage. I think so. Figure how many times in fiction have there been bad people letting people think they're doing something good when they're really not doing something good.
Yeah. Well, I guess they say the most successful con men are the people you trust the most. So.
Yeah.
I guess. You know, the only other thing, just to put one more scene in, and this is in Artifacts number 1. So I can, you may not have read The War of the Witchblades, but if you're up to Artifacts 11, chances are great that you've read Artifacts 1. And Tom Judge, who's been brought up from hell, goes to the curator's shop. And then the curator spends a sizable amount of time. The splash page Josh mentioned is in Artifacts 1, where it shows all 13 of the artifact wielders or temporary wielders, and explains to Tom Judge that 12 of the 13 artifacts are known scattered across the globe. The 13th, the key to all of them, remains hidden. Should the 13th artifact be found and brought together with the others, and this is the curator talking, it will bring about the doom of all you know. For quite some time now, I have done all that I could to forestall this moment. Obviously, I have failed. If you have been released already, events transpire far more quickly than expected. There are forces in motion. And also, when the curator buys it later on in Artifacts, it's just been consistent that, you know, he asserts that he's been doing what he can to prevent these things from happening, and yet despite him, they have.
In all fairness, and this is a good example of using this, I would feel cheated, and I would probably agree with you more if it was an omniscient narrator as opposed to someone who is very obviously in a position where they would want to lie, maybe, or could. Like, in a story in general, if there's an omniscient narrator and they say something, and then later on someone's like, oh, that wasn't true, I'm like, well, flat out lying or changing your mind is one thing, but in this case, it's an actual character saying it, and I'm totally okay with characters like that lying.
Yeah.
If, especially the same writer later on, seems to have a plan, and I would assume Ron does, since everything's kind of been building, that these are a character lying, not just a case of, oh, hey, I'm still stringing you along and not giving you the truth about who this character is.
Well, he's got unexplainable powers, and I guess another question I have is I don't know where these powers come from, because if he holds the codex for his previous universe, well, it didn't look, you know, when we saw his previous universe in existence, it didn't look like he was a shapeshifter and a teleporter, so I don't know. I guess I'm at the point where I can see it. I won't be disappointed if it turns out that what we're reading is what's going on, and it makes a lot of sense for that to be the case. I just can't let go of my skepticism, I guess.
Oh, and I can respect that. I just, I think at this point, all the cards are on the table, and there's not, you know, I don't think there's any more crazy switching identity shenanigans going on.
Yeah. Well, then I'll move to, I guess, moving on in Artifacts, because I'm...
Yeah, say, how many pages ago? We're on, like, page 7.
Yeah, we're, like, barely into the issue, and I have no doubt, and I apologize if you're annoyed by my insistence, but we will talk about this again in future issues. But moving on with the story.
Well, we've got more than 13 issues now to talk about it.
That's pretty cool.
Maybe.
Oh, and then going back... Ooh.
Maybe. We don't know who's going to survive. Of course, funny thing is, I keep going, oh, yeah, it's issue 11. Issue 12, we're gonna get everything.
You'd
know.
Think.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, no, I keep forgetting there's an issue 13.
Yeah. But even so, a lot
and
of times
the miniseries,
you get the penultimate,
the
ongoing. That gives you, I don't know.
I kept thinking it was, oh, issue 12, and then we're going to go on to the ongoing. No, there's the 13 and then the ongoing. So.
Well, then another clue, I guess I'll go back. And here's an interesting clue from Artifacts 1, where this is back in that same scene when Tom Judge is discussing things with the curator. The curator tells Tom Judge, you have been summoned to oppose whoever means, and oppose was in bold. Troy put oppose in bold. Whoever means to gather, well, I guess Ron probably told him to, whoever means to gather the 13 artifacts. And Tom Judge says, and if I don't? And the curator says, then this world, this universe will come to an end. So it's Tom Judge has been key to the story so far. He hasn't been heavily involved in the panel-by-panel storyline, but you know that I'm thinking he really is the catalyst for what happens, especially with when they released the cover for Artifacts 14, where Tom Judge is on the cover as the Rapture.
Well, and consider the name of the artifact.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
The Rapture is the catalyst.
Wow. So the universe does change. This is going to be good. Anyway, what I...
yeah, and well, and there's... This is going to be... I know this is going to be a long episode because there's plenty of other things I have to say that I don't want to forget about till next time and that aren't spoilerific, so...
Great. Oh, you did the unspeakable. Josh took the lid off of his gas station coffee.
I
so
did.
You could see what's floating in
well,
the bottom.
Well, A, it's going down really easy, but it... well, it just... Yeah, it's gross.
A little flaky?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Which I don't... Clean out your AirPods, people.
Yeah.
A little baking soda, warm water, swish it around every night. Something. Ugh.
It does wonders.
I like that open pantry, though, because I pick up like a six-pack every week when I come home, on my way home from the bus. Sometimes I grab Twizzlers, too.
Oh, there's a combo. I guess Twizzlers last longer than the six-pack, though.
No. Sadly, Twizzlers last about two nights. The six-pack usually lasts a week.
Oh, wow. Good man. Good discipline. So in Artifacts 11...
Yes. Where are we, like, page 8
now? The darkness
now?
Engages with the survivor. The darkness encloses the survivor. The survivor, without a whole lot of effort, pretty much takes control of things and dispatches. He also has Ian Nottingham working on his side, which helps.
He purple powers some stuff.
While he takes care of Jackie, he's got Ian Nottingham took care of Sarah.
Oh. We'll discuss later. We'll get through the issue, and then I'm just going to have to jot down stuff real quick that we can talk about after we're done page by paging.
You don't want to talk this now?
Well, we'll just get through the issue, okay. And then we'll touch.
So then we get to what I think is the biggest development in the story in this issue, and that is where the Angelus and Tom Judge and Tilly have found G, the 13th artifact, and work hard. And he resists, as he has consistently, resists helping either side or even engaging either side. But he starts to soften because the Angelus basically says, well, let's...
Because she's hot?
I guess she must have his attention. Because
he basically
shows his vulnerability and says that he's failed in his duty and he continues to fail. He can help no one, including himself. They have a discussion, and in the end, he agrees that he'll help, but he also warns that he fears that he'll fail them as well. But he's clearly been convinced to join the side. And then they're worried that they're run out of time to find the others. And the 13th artifact says, I can find them. And then it cuts back over into the survivor's lair, I suppose. And he's got some pretty amazing equipment. But he takes Hope, who has been liberated from the now unconscious Sarah, and Sarah and Jackie are both disrobed they're held in a prone position, strapped in by metal.
Kirby tech
indeed. And Hope goes into the center of a giant arachnid looking, almost like a mummy's, mummy's sarcophagus. And just to get things rolling forward.
I don't know if this is on purpose, but that thing, the helm, because it looks kind of like a eight-armed, I don't want to say suit of armor, but the top helmety portion looks very similar to the Sonatine and the Darkness.
The
Brotherhood of the Darkness or whatever is kind of outfits that they wore, their robes.
Huh.
Yeah, talk about old school darkness there. Boy, darkness
is...
Origins, kids. Volumes 1, 2, and 3.
That is something. So they basically, the survivor has the upper hand. He has Hope, who he says holds the codex to our universe, and so therefore will recreate his through this machinery. Jackie basically says... He continues to taunt him from the chair. He says, why don't you just kill me? And what is this thing that he's wrapped in? And he says, well, that's a means to keep him from accessing the darkness and a means to an end. Aphrodite asks if the process will kill Hope. And the survivor says, probably. And in the meantime, we go over and there are a couple of others that find a way to escape some of this machinery. There are a couple of folks on our side. And there is, and the biggest news, and saying this is not a spoiler, but there is a fatality near the end of this issue. And that's as much as I'm going to say. I will say that it's in combat. I will say that there's an escape and a plot involved. And it all takes place in front of this sarcophagus and near where Jackie and Sarah are being detained and where the survivor is. But things don't go very well. Except at that very last moment when the artifact is liberated from the individual who was taken over, the Angelus and the 13th artifact show up and basically show up ready to fight.
Oh, yeah.
Great issue. A lot of action. A lot of story progress. Really well written. It's one of those issues that it's easy to read this issue in 5 minutes, and it's super easy to read this issue in 40 minutes. It's really a good one, I think. In the back, special features are particularly good. The Pandora's Box is the two-page focus on the artifact, and it talks about the Glacier Stone and the Ember Stone getting together to be the keys that open the box. We did do an episode about how that went. And then the next, following that, is a two-page walkthrough of the Curator Juxtaposed, where they continue to give me this evidence that the Curator was the survivor all along and blah, blah, blah.
So despite the fact that someone spent a bunch of time putting this entire two-page spread together, you're still saying it's shenanigans.
I don't know. I'm just saying that there's other things that we're going to learn about. You know, there's other things that are going to happen. There's still some players we haven't seen. I do think that individual may show up again who's fighting the Curator back in War of the Witchblades. I do think that the absence of any irons at all is highly conspicuous. I don't know.
Well, I thought Kenneth was dead and his son...
Kenneth's dead and his son's still in prison.
Yeah.
Because Sarah just... visited him in the Witchblade series.
Yes. Oh, which actually brings us to something I guess I sort of kind of want to discuss.
Yeah.
So, is it near the end of Witchblade Redemption Volume 2? Kind of coincides with, or maybe the middle of it, coincides basically with the beginning of Artifacts.
Yeah.
Ever since then, we have not seen Hope at all.
Right.
At all. And there's been a lot of issues. And at first, it was like, oh, here's just a Gleason two-parter. Oh, here's
right.
a little bit of other stuff I don't remember off the top of my head right now. But there's no Hope at all whatsoever. And she's not even mentioned.
That's the interesting part, because you still think it'd be dominating. Yeah, that's true, because if it was pre-Artifacts, Hope would still be in play.
Exactly. And as I've said, Artifacts kind of sort of has to be one of those, it can't take place over too much time.
Right.
Notice this ad we have here that says Artifacts number 12, next issue, A Mother's Choice. It's Greg Horn cover with Sarah holding Hope.
What would you sacrifice? Who would you sacrifice?
I thought it was going to be Gleason, but maybe sometimes if you have to keep a world from being recreated, you have to sacrifice the one thing that will allow that to happen.
The holder of the Codex?
Yep.
Which just brings me to the next thought that popped in my head. You know, she and Jackie just got it on in the last issue of Artifacts. So.
They did. So maybe there's another one?
Maybe there's another. Well, I'm ready for 12 to come out.
That was them getting together, in which case, if anything would have happened, Jackie
should
be dead.
Right, and also, last when it happened, both Jackie and Sarah had no memory of the habit. It was the Darkness and the Witchblade, unbeknownst to the two physical hosts.
And it was really more the Darkness than the Witchblade.
As you would hope and expect, so. Yeah. All right. Okay, so going back now, want to touch base on... You want to go back to
don't
the...
Don't read that one out. Yeah.
Okay.
Going
back to
that would be kind of spoilerific.
Yeah. No, I was...
Assuming you know what that actually is, but you can probably figure it out. I didn't draw it correctly, but...
All right, we're drawing on napkins. In fact, the next prize we'll give after this is going to be this napkin from Josh with all his spoilerific... nuggets and
crullers fruit. Crumbs might even come with it.
So now back to the confrontation as the Darkness fights with the Survivor, and the Darklings and Jackie's dark powers are basically in capturing him and overcoming the Survivor, and then he busts it apart, the Survivor does, to escape and work towards defeating Jackie. And you had a point.
Purple power energy signature dealy.
Yeah.
Which is the same color energy signature as G, bearer of the 13th artifact.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the course of, shall we say, time, we've seen what we believe to be the survivor slash curator in the past fighting the six-armed Dealey.
Right.
And the monastery that G is from is in Tibet.
Yeah.
So there might be another connection there that may explain how or where the curator slash survivor got some sort of power.
Well, why couldn't G really be the curator, and he's just, he knows he failed, and so that's why he's given up.
Interesting.
And like that one, and that would be his brother, because they have similar power.
Except, but I'm not saying that dude with the funny thing on his head, whose name I don't remember again.
Yeah, or just somebody else, I guess.
Yeah, but I suppose if they were like two aspects of the same person that had physically been split, G and the survivor, and possibly reincarnated.
Which would mean they would need to get, that means like arguably just from a sci-fi standpoint, they would each hold half of the codex between them. So they would need to come together.
Yes.
In order to really activate the 13th artifact.
Yes. Another, and I mean, I obviously, if you have more to say about that, I just wanted to point that one out, really. Another thing I find interesting is, now I know I can't remember. I really should double check. But notice G has, like, the entire map of the artifacts tattooed on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the connecting lines as well.
Why would he really need that? Because he wasn't the one, like, I don't remember anything that said, oh, hey, we're choosing you to wield this. This is what you're going to do. He just conveniently happens to have all these tattoos on him.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. I think so.
Well, he's obviously running away from something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, throughout this whole thing, he's resisting all approach. And now he's finally resolved the fact that he's engaged, but he expects to fail.
I just found it interesting that he had the tattoos of all these things.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you really have those?
I hadn't noticed that.
I mean, it looks cool, so obvious reason, and maybe it's something I'd have to go back and check. Maybe it's something a lot of the people at that monastery had, different places maybe. Maybe one guy has it on his back. Also... That does remind me, though, of wherever we see the diagram of the artifacts. Now, notice...
And that's back in the curator juxtaposed section of the back of the book.
Mostly just because it has the diagram of the artifacts.
Right.
So I can show you. Notice there are certain combinations that form trinities.
Mm-hmm.
There's Glacier, Ember, and Pandora's Box, Witchblade, Darkness, Angelus... But then there's the 13th artifact, the Coin of Solomon, and the Heartstone are another trinity.
Huh.
I assume, based off the fact that the opposite side also includes something that's been referred to as a trinity.
Yeah.
So maybe that will play into the ongoing series. It was a random interesting thing that I don't think we've ever touched on, and...
Huh.
Wanted to give people a little tickle of their brain matter and see
good
if they can't
stuff.
Come up with something.
And this is why this series is so good and so fun. And I can't imagine how many hours Ron Mars put into putting all of this together.
Well, sometimes he works like those crazy 20-hour days.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we appreciate it. And
I think that's all I have for random miscellaneous things I've noted that we haven't brought up. Except for one. Which just occurred to me, I think, yesterday. And this, or Saturday night. Very recently, within the past couple days. And this has nothing to do with any kind of conspiracy or hatred. I just want to get this all out there. But have you ever noticed the races of people with artifacts?
I can't say I've thought about it.
They're all Caucasian, except for G.
Yeah. Not sure what to make of it.
Not trying to bring up some, lack of diversity in the Top Cow universe. Because There's diversity of faiths.
Sure.
But
and gender.
Yeah.
And geographic location.
Yeah. But it was just a random thing I noticed. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. That's a little weird.
Well, I guess we'll see how things progress after Artifacts 13.
Though, of course, I should actually say that's just for the current Artifact Bearers.
Right.
Obviously, in the past, we've seen
quite
numerous...
The Witchblades have been held by many different nationalities. And,
yeah.
And even, when it comes to the Darkness has been held by any Asian descent. And
I just remember African.
African, that's okay.
Yeah. But that one makes more sense, though, as something that goes through the bloodline, with the Magdalena. But...
Yeah, interesting how things have lined up.
Yeah, one of those things that I'm like, this is a little weird.
Huh.
Though some of them, too, figure like Necromancer when that first came out. You know, I don't think that was anyone going, oh, this is going to be one of the artifacts in 8 years. It was just, here's a fun story. And that was it. And then Ron came in and was like, this is getting put in here. This is what's going on.
And it's how to do it right. You know, we've seen it. We've seen universes and comics lines rebooted. You know, we both enjoy and crack on DC Comics quite a bit. You know, but they've had so many attempts over the years to try and pull all their stories together. And I think the Artifact series is an example of how to take all these really diverse and independently created characters and really pull them together in a way that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Really nice job. So if DC knew what they were doing, they'd just hire Ron as the creative consultant and have him just diagram the map on the wall. Anyway.
I will explain to you off air why I just kind of laughed silently. But, yeah.
So this was a great issue, I think, and I'm excited for 12. I'm more excited for 13. And we'll definitely record, obviously, about it. Hope you had a chance to pick it up and read it, and I hope that you enjoyed the discussion. We'd love to hear your opinion. Come by to our Facebook page and post what you think, because we really value that. One other little housekeeping note I want to point out is that the Top Cow pilot season is almost all released as of the time of this episode. So do yourself a favor and get a hold of these, because it's been a strong showing so far for 2011. The voting for the pilot season will begin on December 5th, and for 2 weeks it'll be bracket-style voting. Go to topcow.com and vote your favorites, and it'll be bracket elimination style, and then after that there will be a week of bracket elimination style, and it'll get down to the top two choices, and then there will be a one-vote-per-day system to end the year of who is going to win the pilot season and get greenlit for either a limited series or ongoing in 2012 and beyond.
I'm glad you checked that, because I had no clue that's what the elimination style was, or that it was going to be elimination style like that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I like that, because, you know, it's taken on a couple different variations, and I like the bracket style because it's just fun to pit them up against each other. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to go, well, what's the one that I want out of this? Because there's 8 of them this year. So it's fun to be able to pit them against each other, and you can rank them a lot easier that way, I think, if you go head-to-head. So pretty smart on their part, and I congratulate Matt and Philip and all the other Top Cow execs for keeping this alive and following through with it. Also, if you are interested, Philip Sablik, Top Cow publisher, has recorded an episode of Comic Geek Speak that is up and available about the pilot season 2011. In fact, they walk through each of the books, and it's a good episode. It's episode 1160,
which
I don't know if we're ever going to hit that number. But
How often do they record?
You know, they put out like 4 to 5 shows a week.
Yeah.
So it's that's
and we haven't quite hit our one a week like we wanted to, but we've done pretty good.
It's still a goal. I feel like we've done fairly well. You know, we took a little extra time in the summer and whatnot, and we'll have it here and there. But
we've done easily, what, one every 8 or 9 days, though?
Yeah, I think we've been pretty close on the week.
We're closer to once a week than once every 2 weeks.
I think so, too. So, and what's cool...
Oh, except for that missing episode. That probably shouldn't figure into the math.
No, but we'll release that one of these days. I'm talking about the Witchblade Volume 2. So the fun part is that I could, you know, we both could get together 3 or 4 times a week and talk about Top Cow. It's really a rich publishing company. There's a lot to go on with it. And we are not affiliated with them in any way. We are not supported by them in any way. I feel that I'm most grateful that they haven't sent us any cease and desist or anything like that. And they've been super kind by retweeting a lot of our tweets and encouraging people to listen to our show. So I'm very grateful to them. And they're just a great group of people that are doing some really good things. And as long as they keep putting out books, we'll keep talking about them.
Heck yeah.
So we will record again within the next week. So we hope to catch you on our next episode and have a good week.
Good journey.